You know, our bodies are amazing. Don't they run, and then when they stop running, they're like, I'm done, and I'm totally beat and totally tired. Today we have a wonderful young person who's coming to give us a word from the Lord. She has been in our church for, I don't know, 3-4 years. I lost count. But she's amazingly gifted. She's a gifted musician. She's a gifted singer. But she's a worshiper at heart. And if you ever catch her outside of church, she's usually worshiping and she's encouraging. She is probably one of the most positive people I know. And she'll work with anybody. People who are grouchy, she makes them smile. And people who are happy, she makes them feel happier. She is just a natural encourager, and I just am so blessed by her every time I see her. She works a full-time job outside of this ministry, yet she still pretty much works full-time in this ministry. I don't know how she does it. She's a single mom. She has two amazing young girls. She is just a blessing. She has been an absolute blessing to this ministry. And I say this, she is a jewel. Her name is Jewel, but she is an absolute jewel. So I'm going to ask you if you could stand and help me welcome Jewel to the platform this morning.
Thank you. What a moment. What a moment to be here today. Thank you for your welcome. And thank you, Pastor Jen, for encouraging me. Thank you. She's not here right now, but I'm grateful to Pastor Shayna. Trying not to be emotional today. It's going to happen, though. I'm grateful to Pastor Shayna for just really pouring into my life and just wow, words. Don't have many words, but grateful for what she has done. I'm grateful for this church that has just been family. You've been family to me and my two girls. I am so grateful. I'm emotional today because of the journey of where we've come to now. And this is not I've arrived. This is the beginning of what God has said. It is the beginning of so much, so much more. And God is faithful. I want to thank God right now for my family being here. Can y'all wave your hands? My stepdad, my mom, my brother. My two baby girls are in the house. just grateful for what God is doing. Today I want to talk about developing a heart of worship. Excuse me. So let's get started. If you can grab your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis 22. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And if you could stand for me, we're going to read the word. I'm going to do my best to control the tears today. I am a crier, and I'm coming to grips with that. Thank you. All right, ready. Is it breathe? I'm good. I'm just overwhelmed by God. You're going to understand why when we get through this message. All right. If you have Genesis 22, everybody have it? Say yes. If you don't, say hold up. Oh, we got a couple hold up. Okay. While you're getting it, let's get ready to say our Bible affirmation. Are we ready? We got our Bibles? I'm going to hold this up. My Bible's a little big. Ready? Say, this is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 12. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Let's go back to verse 5 real quick. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this moment. This is a holy moment. This is a moment where we encounter you, we hear clearly from you, and we are opening our hearts right now. We are moving ourselves aside, Lord, so that you could come in with your word and speak life to us. Father, I pray that relationship with you, either it's encountered today, it's restored today, or it goes deeper today. Wherever everybody is, at every age, at every stage, we encounter you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all that you have done and you're about to do. We are ready to hear from you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit, I want you to say, I was made to worship, but I must become a worshiper. One more time. I was made to worship, but I must become a worshiper. Okay, you can have a seat. My focus today is on developing a heart of worship. See what the heart of a worshiper looks like. This month in the back, we've been running with the entire worship department something that's called intensives. And they're like mini boot camp sessions. It gives training and builds foundation within our team about what we do and why we do it. Why do we worship? What are we here to do in worship? So it's only apropos that I come to talk to you today and have an intensive as a church about worship. See, worship does not necessarily entail music. Yeah, we just read the scripture, this passage. Did you hear any choirs or pianos in that? No. Did you hear a band playing in the background while he's going up to the mountain with his son? No. No. Because worship's not about music. So as we just read in the scripture, we're going to go back to it right now and understand why we are here to worship. We hear that we're made to worship, but what does that really look like? We can go to Psalms 99:5. Just for sake of time, I'll read it for you. exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. One more time. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. The word exalt there is room in the Hebrew. And it means to lift up. And then we have the word worship. And in the scripture, it is shacha. Shacha in the Hebrew. And it means to bow down. So as we're lifting the Lord up, we are bowing down. Because he is holy. We're recognizing who he is. We're lowering ourselves as we're raising him up. Holy means that there is none other like him. You won't find anyone greater, no one stronger, no one better than our God. Anybody know that, or is it just me? There is nobody like our God, right? There is no one like him. I mean, even the elders that are in heaven worshiping, there's 24 and 20 elders, right? They're worshiping him. You hear? They cast down their crowns. You know what those crowns are? Crowns are successes and titles and the achievements that are placed on the elders. They've achieved these things, and they've been put on their heads, and they cast them down when they get before God. It doesn't matter how high or how much you've achieved. It comes off in the presence of God. He is holy. There is none other higher, no other greater, no other better than him. His very essence, his very presence causes us to worship. To bow before him and say, you're exalted, God. So, can you say I was made to worship? But I must become a worshiper. So what does that have to do with Abraham? What does that have to do with what we just talked about? Let's go back to Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, we see a part of Abraham that is rarely, if ever, talked about. We know Abraham as man of faith, the father of many nations, the father of the Jews, even a friend of God. But what we tend to miss about Abraham is that Abraham was a worshiper. We're going to see, how was he a worshiper? Well, let's go back to verse 1 of that passage in Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Abraham says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So they go. They go. He takes his young men. He takes Isaac. He takes the wood, and they go. And we jump down to verse 5. When they get to the place, 3 days later, they get there. Abraham says to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. That's the first mention of worship in the Bible, by the way. And we will come back to you. If I'm offering a burnt sacrifice of my child, how are we coming back? Very interesting. So, given the heaviness of this moment, because of the testing by God in this instance, we can see by Abraham's response. Abraham did not just become a worshiper in that moment. He's been a worshiper for a while. He has a history of worship. So we're going to go back and look at the start. We're going to meet Abraham and see where this worship began. If you could turn with me to Genesis 12. Going to be a real quick journey because Abraham been through a lot. So we're going to go fast, but bear with me, okay? So in Genesis 12, we'll start verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to jump down to 7 through 8, okay? Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So in the next few scriptures, we see Abraham takes his, he takes his wife, he takes his servants, he takes those he has acquired, and he moves. And when he lands in Canaan, in verse 7, it says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there Abraham built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. What's funny is Bethel, if you translate what the word Bethel means, it means house of God. And Ai, over here, Ai means ruins. He pitches his tent right in the middle. Interesting. Coming out of, he came out of his comfort zone. He came out of what he had known, and he's headed to what God is saying. And he starts building an altar. We see here God making a covenant with Abraham, going back to verse 1 and 2. And Abraham says, all right, let's go. He takes his family. That first encounter with God is so impactful that Abraham at 75 years old, can you imagine? At 75 years old, he takes everything, takes his wife, his nephew, all those he acquired, and leaves what he has known for all his life for the Lord God, who we're not sure how well he really knew God before then. This seems like the first encounter that we're hearing between God and Abraham, correct? Correct. And he sets up an altar. He offers up sacrifices, and he calls on the name of the Lord. Do you remember your first encounter with God? Does anybody remember their first encounter with God? Do you remember that encounter with him that changed your life? Isn't it something awesome? When I was 17, I had my first encounter with God. I had been saved about since I was 7 or 8 years old. I thank God for my mother who introduced me to Jesus, born and raised in church my whole life. But I really did not have a relationship with God, with understanding like I do today. It was not, it was, you know, I was young, and we didn't understand. So at 17 years old, I ended up at a leadership conference in Atlanta. And while I was there on the very last day of the conference, I had this encounter with God I will never, ever forget. I can remember it like yesterday. Let's do this without being emotional. And I heard God speak to me so clearly. Oh, it was awesome. And what he had told me, I just said, yes, God, whatever you want. And it totally shifted my direction, completely shifted me. To the point, I was just like, I want that moment again, and I want more of you. And whatever you want me to do, yes, I will do it. And this, whatever, what he had said was so much bigger, and I had no idea how I was going to get there, but I just knew because he had spoken in that moment, boom, okay, you're going to do it. Something's going to happen. I'm with you. I'm with you, God. Worship is our response to God. It's our response to God where he is exalted as we bow down. We're saying yes. Where we hear his word, that word brings about faith. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It stirred up something inside of me when I heard the word of God. And I was just like, I believe you, God. Yes, let's go. What do you want us to do? It was kind of similar to Abraham, and it'll all tie in the end, so you understand. But it was an awesome thing. Let's go, God. I'm ready. We respond when we hear the word of God, when we have that encounter with God, and we get on fire. Ever see a young Christian, someone who just got born, and they just, everything's about Jesus? Come on. Come on. We're going to go preach to somebody today. We're going to go walk the streets. Let's go. We're on fire. We're ready to go, right? We get excited about it. In that moment that I heard the Lord, I realized he knew me. He had known me all along, but in that moment, in that encounter, I knew he knew me. God was really real, and he had plans for me, and I wanted more of that. See, In the intensives I've been teaching with the worship team, one thing that's been important, there is a huge call with doing worship. There's just a huge call with anything that we do. And the first thing you need is that response to the call. When someone calls, you do what? You answer, right? So we have the call, and we respond to it. And if we're saying, yes, Lord, we're ready, we don't just go out and start doing the call, right? We have to become that which we're called to. We have to get ready and prepared for it. So Abraham is building altars. He heard the word of the Lord, and then he builds an altar. His response is he went, he heard the word, he went, and then he started building an altar. Why? Why would I build an altar? Because I can't do this big call by myself. This call is not about me. This call, he said, I'm going to be blessed and I'm going to make you a great nation. It has gone beyond me. It's for people beyond me. It's for my next generation. It's for the community outside of me, in my home, in my neighborhood. It is bigger than me. So I cannot do this by myself. I have to know you better, God, so I know what it is you want for your people. You can't have a breakthrough. I tell the worship team all the time. You can't have a breakthrough here if we're not having it here by ourselves. If we can't do it at home individually, setting up our altars and just worshiping God and having breakthrough in our own lives, how are we going to help anybody else? How are we going to do that for anybody else? We got to have our own personal time with God and meet with him there, because it's not about us. He didn't come just to save me. He came to save the world. He came to save who was lost and dying. He came to bring life where there has been death. He came to bring freedom. So Abraham sets up an altar. I got to know you. I'm calling on you because I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going. Whatever you say, I'm going. You got my attention. I'm going. I need to know you. As he's doing this, he's saying, my trust is in you, Lord. I may have no idea what I'm doing, but because you do, I need you. Worshiping God is not a Sunday thing. It is not a small group thing. Worshiping God is a life thing, if we choose it. I want you to notice, Abraham was intentional about building an altar. Did God ever say in what he had told him that he needed to build an altar? Never. He never said, you need to build an altar to me and sacrifice. He never did that. Abraham chose to worship. He was intentional about building. Are we intentional with our worship? Are we intentional about who God is and saying, I recognize who you are and I want to acknowledge you? And I don't want to just acknowledge you when I show up to church on Sunday, but I'm going to acknowledge you at work where they say, can't talk about God here. Oh, really? Because that's how I got here. God did this thing. I came through because God did this. It wasn't you. My job is not what's keeping me here. Promotion comes from the Lord. Come on. So worship. Say, I was made to worship. But I must become a worshiper. As Abraham is spending his time in worship, he's seeing the different sides of God. You can't do the call and get to that point with God if you don't know who God is. To know who God is, excuse me, to know who you are is to know who God is. In relationship with him, we are seeing many facets of God. His different characteristics. We see he's faithful. Abraham's seen that. He's seeing, okay, you told me this word. All right, I'm going. And then as soon as he gets to the land, God says, oh, this is the land I'm promising you. This, and then there's more over here. I'm giving this land to you and your descendants. He's telling him every time he moves and he goes. Every time he's responded. The faithfulness of God. Abraham also meets King of Peace. Melchizedek, king of Salem, after there's a war. 9 kings, and then this one shows up. Like, where'd you come from? And he has communion with him. He has a personal encounter with God. God and the three men, the three men, remember? He has an encounter with the Almighty God. And later on, back in Genesis 22, he meets Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. When we're in worship with God and encountering him, we see different sides of God. The more we open up to him, the more he opens up to us. He says, let me show you who I am. What do you need? What do you need from him? He's going to show you in that time by yourself with him. So there was a time that there was no altar set up. It is when we see Abraham and Sarah take a detour from what God had said. It happened, y'all. It's human. It happens. It took a detour in Genesis 15. Abraham received a promise that an heir would come from Abram's body, but yet Ishmael was born. God said, no, that's not the one. Instead of going right, Abraham went left. So we find this detour in Genesis 16. Anybody ever take a detour? I did. Praise God, I had two blessings that came out of it, sitting right here. Grace and mercy, that's what they call. I praise God for them. If it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, I'm serious. He's so good. So, sometimes we try to take matters into our own hands. So, remember, there was no altar set up. There was no worship. There was no reconnecting. And, God, I'm really struggling. You're taking too long. I heard you, but I don't see it. So, let's try to figure this out on our own. So, they went and figured it out on their own. But it wasn't right. That wasn't the promise still. God's like, no, I didn't say that. It's going to actually come through your body, Abraham. It's going to come through you. So we had an Ishmael. Sometimes we just try to do it ourselves. But don't you know that whatever your situation is, it does not change who God is. God's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's still God. We got to learn how to be patient. We got to learn to hold on to the promises of God. So at 99 years old, when it seemed like all hope was lost, God shows up as Almighty God. That's that grace and mercy right there. He makes covenant with Abram and changes his name to Abraham. Almost like their relationship got rekindled, reignited, you know? That fire started again. When we choose God, we get a name change. Anybody's name change? Let me remind you then. Okay. No longer slaves to fear, but I'm a child of God. Any children of God in this house? Oh, we're too quiet. I'm sorry. Not an enemy, but a friend of God. I was an addict, but now I'm free from that addiction. Come on. Depressed to joyful, hated to loved, rejected by men, chosen by God, precious in the sight of the Lord. He who the Son has set free is? Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We got a testimony. I don't know how we're sitting about it. But we can give glory to God for changing our name. We thank you, God, for what you've done. So now let's get back to our text. At 100 years old, Abraham's son Isaac is born. We're brought up back, if you can jump to Genesis 22. The promise that had been given 25 years ago had finally come. We're at this testing point, and God is asking for the promise to be given up as a burnt offering. Anybody wondering, after all that, God? What? Are you serious? But Abraham did not react like that. He didn't react like that at all. I'd have been like, really? Let's try that again. What'd you say? See, don't miss it, though. We don't get in relationship with God to get what we want out of it and say, deuces and smooches. I got what I wanted. Bye. We don't get into relationship. Yeah, y'all wouldn't like it if that happened in your relationships. Somebody using you and then you know. there's no real intimacy, no love, no depth to that relationship. We get in a relationship with God to know him for who he is. While we're in relationship with him, we do receive blessings and what we need. And we learn to depend on him more and more for who he is. Maturity is not how independent we can be. Maturity is how dependent, total dependency on God. Abraham had become dependent on God. And we can see that after God tests Abraham, Abraham passes this test as he was willing to give up even what was so precious to him. I waited for this, but you promised. I know what you said to me back then. You promised and you're faithful. So yes, I'm going to give even what I've been waiting for. I'm going to give it to you because you're still worthy. You're still God on the throne. I met you. I know you. Yes, I'm going to give it up. My best sacrifice is when I give everything. If it don't cost you anything, it don't mean much. Your worship ought to cost you something. Not something little either. That most precious thing, that thing that may even be pulling you back from God, can you give it up and sacrifice that? Can you put that on that altar? Say, God, for you. I don't want nothing inhibiting my relationship with you. I want to go deeper, God, so I lay this at your feet. We worship at his footstool. Why? Because he is holy. So what I want you to do with this word, I was hearing God say, God's seeking worshipers. That's John 4, 23 through 24. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Worship is a choice. He made you. Yes, he made us to worship. But we have to choose to become worshipers, to be in relationship. That the destiny he's put inside of us. God, I need you in order to do what you said to do. This is bigger than me. And not just that, I just need you. I want to know you, God. How can you help somebody else if you don't know him for yourself? Every song we sing, we ought to be believing every word we sing, or else don't sing it until you believe it, have that breakthrough with you before you can try to break through for anybody else. That's how we're the light of the world. It starts by ourselves, tucked away in worship. So today is a big day because 17 years ago, you're seeing right before your very eyes the fulfillment of the word I heard when I was 17. This is what he said. This is the start of what he said. He is faithful. He is worthy. I give him all glory, honor, and praise. I learned how to worship. And I got this word 17 years ago, and I'm like, God, how are we going to do this? I'm ready. But woo, what are we going to do? And here we are. The journey, the journey, the journey, the journey, the journey, the journey. We're here today because of faithfulness of God. And a choice to say, yes, Lord. If you have not had an encounter with the Lord yet, or you do not know the Lord, today is your day to have that. Today is your day. We can introduce you to Jesus Christ, and then you get connected to the Father, and you have an encounter. It will change your life, I'm telling you, in the best way ever. If you have had an encounter with God but have been struggling with relationship with God, ask God today for a fresh new start, a fresh new encounter with him, rekindling that fire, and start setting up your altars everywhere in everything you do. For those who have had relationship with God, ask God, how can I go deeper with you? Show me yourself like never before. I want more of you. What is it that you want from me? Can you say one more time? I was made to worship, but I must become a worshiper. Lord, I am ready and available to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jewel. I want to pray for Jewel, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask her as we dismiss service for her to just kind of stand at the door, and I'm going to ask you to encourage her. The reason I want to pray for Jewel is this. A lot of people want to preach. A lot of people want to be seen and heard and be on the platform. Some of you pray for people and you preach to people while you pray for people because you want to preach. But I want to say this. You don't know what it cost. Abraham had a great cost in his worship of the Lord. There is a cost that is involved in going deeper with God. I remember one time we were praying on a Saturday night and we were just saying, Lord, we want more of you. We want more and more and more of you. And the Lord said this. He said, more cost. He said, more cost. And a lot of us become so complacent in our worship of the Lord, we don't want to pay the cost. More cost. And I will tell you, it cost this woman a lot to be on this platform this morning. It cost her a lot this week, but it cost her a lot in years. Years of sitting down when she wanted to be up. Years of being almost ignored when she knew she had a gift. It cost. So I want you to extend your hands to her because we want to agree with the word of the Lord on her life. Lord, we pray for Jewel this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for her obedience to you. And I pray that this will be one of many powerful messages coming from her mouth. Father, I pray that your spirit would open doors for her that no man can close. I pray, oh God, that in the deepest of deeps in her heart, worship will flow. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take her to deeper levels with you, that greater encounters would come, and that nations would be transformed because of what comes out of her worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to the back door, look. I want to close this morning just by praying for you. And I want to give you a chance to worship on your own. We've ended a little bit early today, so I want to ask the media team, just play some music. If you need to encounter God freshly, come encounter him. If you've never encountered him and you're saying, you know what, I've been in church a long time, but I've never had that experience, come experience him. If you've had barriers blocking your worship with God, come get rid of your barriers this morning. Don't leave the same way. God is so inviting. Here's what I want you to do. Grab the hand of the person next to you. I want you to position your heart for worship. That means close your eyes, close your eyes. That means bow your head, bow your head. Just position yourself in a place of worship. Holy Spirit, I pray for you to fall on each person right now. I pray for you to encounter them. I pray as that they hold the person's hand to their right, that your fire will flow through them all the way down the row. I pray, Holy Spirit, for those that don't know you yet, that they would experience you. I pray for those who have been in church a long time but have never really, really encountered you or known you, that they would get that. I pray for chains to be broken right now, for religious mindsets to be dismissed right now in Jesus' name. I pray for all offense. I sense there's a spirit, there's someone in here with the spirit of offense, meaning you have been offended by somebody and it has wedged something between you and God. God says, get rid of it. Offense is a tool of the enemy to keep you from your destiny. Some of you are offended with God. God says, bring it to me. Holy Spirit, I pray for you to come. Come, Holy Spirit, on each person right now.